And of course, the Bible does say that we ought to do all things decently and in order. And so that keeps things up. Again, for a person that is, I guess, OCD, everything has its place, everything in its place, things like that, and so forth. You know, I like those verses. Let's do all things decently in order, and we have to maintain, and so forth. But again, I do know people that they don't like maintenance. There was a fella, he was a sound man back when we first went to the church in Florida. He was a sound man, and he knew all the technical parts. He could like rewire it. He knew all the computer side of it, things like that. And he thought he could do sound as far as music, but he was tone deaf. And so, you know, he knew how to push those buttons, and he could tell you what was making those buttons and all that kind of stuff. You know, he the technical side of it. He could solder. He could, you know, run wire. He knew his computer. He could take it apart, put it back together, things like that. But he was tone deaf. So the part of him adjusting did not help. Like, I understand you know what makes that slide go up and makes it get louder and things like that, and I don't. I just know it does, okay? But I do know that it's supposed to sound a certain way. I'm not tone deaf. And so my wife actually told him that she was going to get a crossbow and attach it to the top of the piano and aim it at the sound room, and if he touched any of those buttons, she was going to let her go. And he finally got it. But the reason I'm telling you that story was he had one of them Toyota minivans back before minivans were popular. It looked like maybe the Scooby-Doo van. It was like a box. And it had like 300,000 miles on it. And he had never changed the oil. And I told him, I was like, man, you need to write Toyota or call Toyota and let them do a commercial on this. Because that thing should have blown up a long time ago. And he's like, you know, I didn't figure it needed the oil change and so forth. But anyway, you know, maintenance is important. And my sister, I remember one summer, her kids had a little four-wheeler. She didn't check the oil. Four-wheeler blew up. She didn't check the oil on my dad's zero turn that she borrowed to cut her grass. Blew the lawnmower up. And so, you know, maintenance is important. you know, engines need oil and things like that. So we're going to look at it. And the Bible says here in Job 13:15, it says right here, though they slay me, and of course we know Job and some of his friends were trying to get him to curse God and die. His wife even was trying to get him to turn his back on God, things like that. And we know Job's mentality was, you know, the Lord giveth, the Lord take away, blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm not going to curse God. I'm not going to turn my back on God. And that didn't just happen. All right. He had maintained his relationship with God through the good times and through the bad times. A lot of it's easy to say, you know, praise God when the bank is full or, you know, all of our bills are paid and we have money in the bank. And praise God when the belly's full and we have it. And praise God for a new outfit. And praise God. That's easy. But if we are hungry or we wondering how we're going to pay the bills and things like that, it's harder to praise God. But if we maintain our relationship with Him, we can say, okay, God, I don't understand this. I may not even agree with this. I definitely would not have chosen this, but I know You know what's going on. So help me behave myself correctly. Help me to trust You and help me to come out the other side praising You. And that's what Job's mentality was. And all the things that Job lost, and all the things that Job had said about him and all the situations that Job had to go through, he didn't just handle them right. He wasn't just having a good day. He wasn't just, you know, flipping a coin and thinking, I'll just answer it this way. No, he did it all correctly throughout all those things. And you can read Job's entire life. But he said it verbosely, though he slay me, if God takes my life, yet will I trust Him. Okay, and so if God's ready for me to come to heaven, I'm ready to go. That was Job's mentality. And the reason he was able to say that, it says here, but I will maintain my own ways before Him. So in the good times, I'm going to behave like God wants me to. In the bad times, I'm going to behave like God wants me to. In the times I understand everything and see that this is awesome, I'm going to behave like God wants me to. If I am questioning, wondering why God's allowing this, I'm still going to behave like God wants me to. And the reason that that could happen was because He maintained. All right. And so we see here in the Bible, it says here, I will maintain my own ways. Now, we're pretty good, like if we have siblings or if we have friends, we're pretty good at giving them our opinions on how they should maintain. You know, you need to do this, or you need to fix this, and you need to take care of this. But Job was like, look, I'm going to maintain my own ways. My friends may be criticizing me and thinking I'm sinning. I mean, some of them said, Job, there's no way that this should be happening in your life unless you're just living in sin. Where are you hiding the sin? What have you done? Let's confess that and get right with God. But he hadn't. But he's like, I'm just going to take care of myself. So we see here, though he slay me, yet I will trust him, but I will maintain my own ways before him. So we talked about the state of revival and state of backsliddenness, and then you can have revival over here if you just take one step towards God. One step away from revival, you're backslidden a little bit. So let's maintain our own ways, and that's what we're going to look at tonight. It's all about maintenance. So let's have a word of prayer, and we'll begin. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity we have to serve you. Lord, help us, Lord, to be excited about the opportunity to maintain our own ways like Job did. And he was able to do it through tough times, through hard times and things like that. And it was all because you helped him. Lord, help us realize you'll help us in Jesus' name. Amen. So it's all about maintenance. Of course, I'm going to give you a couple illustrations here. We've already mentioned cars, but cars in our day and time, back in the day when it just had spark plug wires, Bendix and points and things like that, I could work on them. Now everything's a computer, and I have no clue about computers, so that's why I can't work on cars. But cars, they need maintenance. But my truck out there, it'll tell me when air pressure is low. And again, those little $80 mechanisms inside those rims, they'll tell you you need some air. And so I could push a button, and it shows the picture of my truck and all four wheels. This one's got 42 pounds in it. This one's got 43 pounds in it. This one's got 38. That's the one that needs to pump it. And it'll tell me all that stuff. It helps me maintain. Friday, we went to a doctor's appointment for Miss Hudson and get her hearing aids checked. And we were driving down the road, and their car starts going, boom, 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 boom. And you know, all of us were like, what's going on? What's happening? And so there's a picture of a thermometer up there that's red. And I was like, it's overheating. So I just turned the AC off. So that was a blessing to my heart. So I turned the AC off. We cracked the windows a little bit. And so we got there, and I opened the hood and let it cool off while we were at the doctor's appointment. And so then when we left there, we went and put some water in it. Maintenance. And it hadn't done it since, right? We're good? Okay. I was hoping it didn't leave them stranded somewhere. They had some people call them idiot lights, idiot warnings. Hey, dummy, you need to put some of this in there. And so I had a friend that borrowed my truck before and took off driving. And, the oil gauge said, no oil pressure. Oh, the oil pressure gauge must not work. Boom! It worked fine. It was saying there's no oil pressure and so forth. So those gauges in there, they're there for a reason to tell us. And then there's just those things that the mechanic tells you, or the people that buy, when you buy a car, every 3,000 miles change the oil. That used to be the thing, but now I think the full synthetic, you can go to 5 and all this stuff. Maintenance schedules. And they'll give you a book, and if you'll bring it back to them, they'll charge you a whole lot of money, and they'll maintain it for you. But cars need it. They need the oil change. They need their tires rotated. I learned that the hard way back in the day when we were a young couple. We had a car and didn't rotate those tires, and they wore on the edges and cost us lots of money. So now it's religious. Rotate those tires every time you get an oil change. Boom, boom, boom. Why? Because I want to make them last as long as possible. Because they cost a lot of money. Air filters, you have to do that. Brakes, you have to do that. Tune-ups, you have to do that. Transmission and engine. Now, they'll tell you, if they ever tell you, ladies, you need your blinker fluid changed, okay, they're lying to you, all right? There's no such thing as blinker fluids. And, I don't like those guys that do that. The lady will come in there, oh, yeah, you need to change your brake fluid. You need to change your, transmission fluid, things like that. I don't know that you need to do all that kind of stuff, but oil changes and things like that are important. And same goes for our house. And I mentioned that a little bit this morning about the air conditioner, changing the filters and putting some Clorox in the drain line, things like that. But your house needs things like that. It needs paint every once in a while. It'll be all right. I've had to put new roofs on houses. Needs it every 20, 25 years. Pressure washing, gutters cleaned out. They will fall off if you don't ever clean them out, okay? And so forth. And here's a good one. Your grass needs to be cut. And your flower beds need to be weeded every once in a while. Out on visitation, I've noticed some people that haven't done that in a while. When their flower beds, the weeds and the grass in their flower beds are taller than the house. They haven't done it in a while. You know, and I'm going to the front door like, hey, I think there's a front door over here. They haven't maintained their yard. And if you live in a HOA place, you're going to get a letter. You're supposed to maintain the look and so forth. And you need to take care of your house. If you ever want to sell it, you'll make more money and it won't rot away. So cars need maintenance. Houses need maintenance. Again, if you travel, like Brother Sellers traveled the other day, and he was supposed to be here at 4:30, didn't get here till 12 midnight because one of the planes failed inspection. They were doing a regular scheduled maintenance on the plane and it failed. He said this, and I would be the same way. I'm glad. I would rather be late and alive than on time but not make it. So planes, they need maintenance. Our body needs to be maintained. The Bible talks about it, that we ought to take care of our body. Now, we know that the Bible says bodily exercise profiteth little. So maybe in our mind, like, if it just profit a little, not going to do it. But anyway, it does. It helps us to keep our bodies in shape, physically in shape. We ought to eat. We ought to drink. I did this a couple summers ago. Weed eated for hours and hours and hours, didn't drink enough. That's where the kidney stone came from. So I am religious now. If I'm going to go weed eat, I'm going to drink before, during, and after. I never want another kidney stone. So anyway, I'm trying to maintain my body physically and exercise. But then our body also needs maintenance spiritually. We can't just suck it up. We can't just push through. We need spiritual maintenance with our body. We need to pray. We need to read the Bible. We need to learn how to trust the Lord. We need to serve Him with our body, things like that. So we need to maintenance. And so the word maintenance, and then we'll get into the main points here. The word maintenance, there's a bunch of definitions in Webster's dictionary, and a lot. I'm going to read a few of them here, and obviously you can apply these spiritually as well. So maintenance basically means to hold, in other words, in a good spot. So when we want to maintain our spiritual life, maintain revival, we're going to stay right there facing the right direction. Then it also means to preserve or to keep in a particular state. So maintaining our spiritual life, we all want to preserve it. We want to be in the state of being right with God and in a good condition. It also means to support or to sustain, not to suffer it to fail or decline. We don't want to backslide. We don't want to get further away from God. We want to get closer to God. It also means not to surrender or to maintain a place or a post. This is more like a military strategy. I'm not surrendering. Devil, get out of here. Leave me alone. I'm maintaining this position right here. You're not going to cause me to backslide. You're not going to cause me to be tempted. Just resist Him. So maintaining obviously means to not surrender to that temptation. It also means to continue or to uphold or to support in the expense of. So sometimes you have to maintain things and it costs you money. So we see as far as the illustrations here in life, cars need maintenance, homes need maintenance, planes need maintenance, our bodies need maintenance. And so we're going to look at four places in the Bible where maintenance is important because it's all about maintenance. And we're in Job 13:15. And we see here, first of all, that Job says that he wants to maintain his own ways. Again, we can have examples that we look at and say, I would like to be as good a Christian as that person. I would like to be like so-and-so. They seem to be happy and on fire for the Lord, things like that. Nothing wrong with that. But again, we can't be them. They can't be us. We have to maintain our own ways. We ought not give up and say, what's the use? I'm not going to maintain, then obviously we're going to have tragedy like engines being blown if you don't maintain. So underneath this, when we have maintain our own ways, first of all, in our relationship with God, it's our own responsibility to maintain our relationship with God. It's not my wife's responsibility to maintain my relationship with God and vice versa. It's my own responsibility. Again, I can't piggyback or hang on her coattails, things like that. I can't be right with God by hanging on to my parents' coattail. I have to maintain my own relationship with Him. So our relationship with God, so it's my job, just like if you're going to go on a long trip, you usually maybe take your car in, get the oil changed. You get your tire pressure checked. You rotate those tires. You get all the things checked out. Again, if your car is leaning, backfiring, smoking, you probably don't want to head out towards California. Not a good plan. We'll be all right. We'll make it. Probably going to get stranded. Probably not going to make it the whole way. Why? Because lack of maintenance. The same thing. We can't just say, hey, I'm going to make it through the Christian life. I'll figure it out. I'll wing it. I'll work it out. No, we have to maintain our relationship with God by reading the Bible. Let Him talk to us. By praying, let us talk to Him. That's maintaining our relationship with God. Listening to the Holy Spirit. And again, our parents told, I know my parent told me this, listen to me. I'm not going to tell you again. And I would get those warnings. And so a lot of times the Holy Spirit will come to us when we heard revival preaching like that and say, hey, this is what you need to fix. This will help you maintain your spiritual life. Be all right. We can't do that. We have to listen to the Holy Spirit. And then we saw this morning in Isaiah, when we wait on the Lord, then that's how we renew our strength. So that's helping us maintain our strength by waiting on the Lord, by serving the Lord, by soul winning or singing or serving at the church or coming to a work day or something like that. That maintains our relationship with God. Secondly, we got to maintain a relationship with leadership. We have to maintain our relationship with leadership in the world. Why? Job said it's my responsibility to maintain my ways. And so we're going to tomorrow. Some of us have bosses that we have to go work for. Some of us have co-laborers that we have to go work for. And so that maybe somebody is a leadership in our life. Obviously, there's some young people and some teenagers in here. You still have to listen to your parents. And so that's maintaining a relationship with your leadership. That's how Job was. When the leaders came to Job and said, this is what we need to do, he treated them with respect. He said, again, y'all can say what you want to. I'm not going to go against God. I'm not going to deny Him. And so he had the right spirit. He didn't say, all y'all just hang it, or all y'all can just shut up. All y'all are stupid. All y'all have no clue. He didn't do that. He maintained his relationship with the leadership in his life. And so that's what we have to do. And so, of course, we have to, do what the leadership in our life says. So in other words, if we do have parents that we are still under, we ought to not only obey them, but maintain a relationship. Spiritually minded, spiritually speaking, we have Sunday school teachers, we have a preacher, we have other teachers and things like that we listen to and take counsel for. Maybe we have a mentor, maybe we have a godly example. We maintain that relationship. That's going to help us not say, I got it all figured out. My boss is, around the ear. They're crazy a little bit. Even our government officials, we're good at saying they're wackadoos. And they believe all this dumb stuff. But the Bible tells us that we're supposed to maintain that relationship. Now, that doesn't mean change like they say. Or that doesn't mean that we ought to, say they're the greatest thing since sliced bread. No, it tells us in the Bible to pray for them. And so that's what we've got to do. Again, instead of saying, those Democrats or that governor or that, that. It's easy to complain, but to the maintenance of our relationship, we ought to pray for that individual. Now, it might be praying that they get voted out and somebody else gets in there. That'd be a good prayer. But we maintain our relationship with our leadership. Third thing that we maintain in all of our ways, we maintain our testimony and our friendships. It's up to us what other people think about us. Now, obviously, people can lie. They can start rumors and things like that. We can't control that. Job couldn't control it. They said he was sinning, and they said he had lost it, and they said that he, was going to die because God's judging him. That was a lie. Job couldn't handle it. He couldn't do anything about that. But he could maintain his ways and treated them with respect and acted like and they found out later. So sometimes that's what we have to do. We have to maintain a relationship with God, maintain our relationship with our leadership, but we also have to maintain our testimony. The devil says, don't worry about what people think. Who cares? But we ought to. The Bible says we're supposed to let our light so shine. The Bible says we heard in the revival, ye are witnesses. So we have a testimony. And the Bible says even a child is known by his doings. So we have a testimony. When, if I said anybody in this room's name, there would be something that came into their people's minds. That's your testimony. That's what people think. And it ought to be faithful, loves God, is a good Christian, things like that. That's what we want to do. And the only way to have that testimony about us is to maintain your testimony. There's been times in my life where I've blown my testimony. I've had a good testimony for a long time. Maybe I got an attitude or I lost my temper. All right, even with my kids. I'll see if I need that. No, I don't need that. That's one and two. I'm on three. But anyway, y'all be looking at it the whole time. It's stuck back there, isn't it? So sometimes I've had to go fix my testimony. That's all about maintenance. I saw the light come on in the car. It needed water. I went and put some water in it. Fixed. So if I've lost my testimony by blowing my temper or saying something that I shouldn't say, I need to go fix it. That's part of maintenance. If you hit a deer with your car, all right, some of you might bungee cord, duct tape, we're good to go. All right, at least you fixed it. But some of you, you take it to the body shop and you get it fixed. That's part of maintaining your car. Why? Because there was an accident. There was something that you didn't choose, or there was some way that you didn't do what you wanted to do. So our testimony sometimes gets messed up. And for maintenance, Job said, hey, I got to go maintain my own ways. And so we have to go fix our testimony. Hey, look, I'm sorry. I don't know of anything that I've had to do that more in than sports. Why? Because I love them. I like to play sports. I like to win. All right. There's no me and team. No I and team. There we go. All right. But there is one in win. All right. That's my opinion. There's no I in team, but there is an I in win. And I like to win. And so, I mean, I've overexerted and I've got maybe an attitude. And so on the way home from men's gym night, the Holy Spirit's like, you blew it. You messed up. And I've had to drive by people's house. God wouldn't let me go home. I'm sorry. I lost it. All right? And it was fixed. Bro hug. We're good. Took care of it. That's how you maintain your testimony. I could have just said, I won. He's just going to deal with it. Jerk. That's not the way to live. We have to maintain our ways. So that's what Job could have went to all those friends' houses and said, y'all are wax. You said this and you said, I know about you. But he didn't do that. He took care of his own self. So maintenance, we have to maintain our relationship with God, our relationship with leadership, our testimony. Number four underneath this one, we have to maintain our character. Obviously, character, there's many definitions for it. Some people, it's what you are when nobody's looking. It's what you are when the lights are out, things like that. And those are good examples of character. But character is always doing the right thing. Always responding right. And so you have to maintain. That's not going to just happen. If we're going to do the right thing, we're going to have to maintain our character like Job did. And he had the right kind of character. So we have to maintain it in our personal life. When that temptation comes, character handles it the right way. Resist Satan. Not allow yourself to be in that situation again. And things like that. So when we have a bad thought, character gets rid of it. When we have a failure, character goes in and apologizes and fixes it. That's how to maintain your relationship. And Jesus was a perfect example in this. It says in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forevermore. He had the character, he had the testimony that he was the same every day. Some people, maybe your boss, some people, a friend that you work with, you go in and you're like checking the wind. Seeing what they're going to act. Are they in a good mood today, bad mood? Which side of the bed did they get up on? Things like that. Don't talk to them till after 11. You figured them out. Till they again. But character always does the right thing. No matter what side of the bed you get up on. No matter what's going on. Malachi 3:6 says, Jesus, I am the Lord, I change not. So we have to maintain our character. And Jesus was a great example of that. He was the same yesterday, today, forever. He changes not. So we see, first of all, we got to maintain our ways. Now let's go to 1 Kings. We're going to look at a couple places in the Bible tonight. We've got one of them now. We've got three more to go. 1 Kings 8. 1 Kings 8, we're going to look at another thing in the Bible that it tells us to maintain. Maintain your ways, your testimony, your character, your relationship with God, relationship with your leadership. Number two, here's another thing that the Bible tells us to maintain. And of course, it's found in verse 45, 1 Kings 8, verse 45. And it says, "Then hear thou in heaven their prayers and their supplications." All right, God still does that. This was a long time ago, back in the days of the kings, when they prayed to God. God heard their prayer. He heard their supplication. But then it says here what they were praying about. God hears our prayer and our supplications today in 2023. But then it says here, and maintain their cause. Maintain their cause. Again, a lot of people say, let's rally around the cause, or let's have a cause, let's unite in a cause. Obviously, God's cause is, the Bible says, that the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. That was God's cause. Again, that's a good verse to teach your child when he's little. You know, "In what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." That's a good one for a child. But another one for a child is that he came to seek and to save that which is lost. God is seeking you. He's trying. He wants to save you. And so that's Jesus' cause. Another one of a verse that pops into my mind about his cause: it's not his will that any should perish. It would be God's will that everybody come to repentance. This is his cause. And the cause was to save people from dying in their sins. So that cause caused Jesus to come from heaven, to be born of a virgin, to live 33 and a half years on this earth, perfect, without sin, dying on the cross, raising again, being buried, raising again the third day, ascended back into heaven, and now he sends the lights of the world to get people saved. That's his cause. So not only are we supposed to maintain our ways, we're also to help to maintain Jesus' cause. I need to be about the cause. Look at verse 49, same chapter. Verse 49, similar verse. It says here, "Then hear thou their prayer and their supplication." So in other words, they're still about the cause. God help us. We're trying to advance your cause. We're trying to reach people. We're trying to live right. So hear our prayers, hear our supplications in heaven, thy dwelling place, up there where you are, and help us maintain their cause. They wanted to maintain the cause. And then it goes over to 59. Look at 59. And it says, "And let these my words, wherewith I have made supplications before the Lord, be nigh unto the Lord our God, day and night." All right, so maintenance schedule to maintain your car: oil change every 3,000 to 5,000. Tire rotation every 5,000. Change your, you know, this ever so often. It's a scheduled. So how do we maintain the cause? Day and night. We can't just say, okay, I'm going to be about Jesus' cause here, and then 6 years later, oh yeah, I'll get involved in the cause again for about a day. And then 12 years later, I'll get involved with the cause. No. Jesus and God wants us to be involved with his cause day and night. And the way we maintain it is by thinking about it, by praying, putting supplications. Why? It says here that he might maintain the cause of his servants, and they caused his people, Israel, at all times, as the manner shall require. And so, again, to maintain God's cause, we got to be about it all the time. In other words, even at night, you know, your flesh might want to get up and have a snack. Your mind might want to watch SportsCenter or a Hallmark movie, things like that. But you have work tomorrow, and you're like, okay, I'm about that cause. I go to work because I need to get some money. Because I have some bills to pay and some mouths to feed. Because God gave them to me, blessed. So we have our cause. And so what we have to do sometimes is go to bed and get some sleep. And so we don't bite people's heads off the next day because we're tired, because we stayed up all night doing something that we could have done later. So we have to maintain our cause. And that's what he said here. Look, if you're going to maintain my cause, it's going to be day and night. It's going to be at all times. So for instance, I can't say, okay, I'm about God's cause, but Friday night, I'm going to step out of the cause and I'm going to go party. I'm going to go get drunk, or I'm going to do this, because I want to, and then just hop back in God's cause. No, we got to be about God's cause all the time, day and night. Let's look at another verse right after that. It says that all the people of the earth may know that I am the Lord. Know that the Lord God, or Lord is God, and there is none else. Why? Because this is about the cause. Why do I have to worry about it day and night and all the time? Because God's God, and there's no other gods. There's one God. There's one way to heaven. There's one. That's why we have to do it. And then it says here in verse 61, "Let your heart, therefore, be perfect with the Lord your God." This is how Job made it through. This is how he was able to maintain all his ways, because his heart was perfect with the Lord, to walk in His statutes and to keep the commandments as at this day. And so, of course, we see here, not only are we supposed to maintain our ways, we're supposed to maintain God's cause. This was Solomon's prayer for his people. And he prayed in verse 59, he was basically saying, we need to the realization that the cause is bigger than us. Why did he pray and put up supplications? Why? Because he knew that this cause was way bigger. So again, we hear maybe a missionary, and we hear some stats about the earth and how many people die and go to hell every minute. And we hear all these stats, and you know, that's the cause. That's why Jesus died on the cross, to save all those people. And there's countries that's never heard the name of Jesus, and we need to send missionaries there. And we look at the cause and we're like, whoa, it's too big for me. And it is. Like every time I see a missionary video, and when Brother Riobaldero was here, I was like, God, I'll go to the Philippines. And, you know, I see the video from the missionaries that we support. God, I'll go there if I need to, whatever. The cause is out there, and we got to be about it day and night. And so we have to maintain the cause. Realize it's bigger than we, so we need to pray and ask God day and night. And He will maintain it at all times. He's everywhere. Then we need also, in the cause, I'll read you a verse in 2 Chronicles. If you want to turn there, you can. But in 2 Chronicles 6, verse 35 through 39. This was about the cause as well. And 2 Chronicles 6, verse 35 says, "Then hear thou from the heavens their prayers and their supplications, and maintain their cause." So again, Solomon's prayer here was for them to maintain the cause, keep God first, keep searching for God. Then it says in verse 36, "If there sin against thee, for there is no man which sinneth not." Everybody's going to make a mistake. Everybody's going to mess up. "And thou be angry with them, and deliver them over before their enemies, and they carry them away captive in the land that is far off, or near." And so, of course, at this time, Solomon was, you know, known as the wisest person in the world. And so he had seen those people that didn't maintain the cause. They put other things before God. They got taken into captivity. And so this is why Solomon was praying, "Lord, people before the people in my day, they didn't keep you first. They didn't maintain their character. They didn't maintain their good works. They didn't maintain. So now they're in captivity." In other words, you didn't change the oil. Car blew up. You didn't, you know, replace the filter in your air conditioner. Air conditioner froze up, burned up. Now you need a new air conditioner. Solomon said, "I get it. If you don't maintain, you're not going to make it, because the enemy's strong and they're going to carry away captive." And then it goes on to say, "Yet," verse 37, "yet if it bethink themselves in the land whether they be carried away captive and turn and pray unto thee in the land of their captivity, saying, we have sinned." So in other words, he'd been around long enough to see the ones that didn't maintain got taken into captivity. But he remembered that there were some that got taken into captivity that realized, "I blew it." So they drove to somebody's house and apologized. Or they said, "God, I've made a mistake. I haven't been maintaining. We've sinned. And we have done amiss. And we have dealt wickedly." Verse 38, "If they return to thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land their captivity, whether they be carried away or carried them captives, and pray toward their land which thou hast given unto their fathers," or "givest unto their fathers, and forward the city which thou hast chosen, and toward the house which I have built for thee in the name, then," verse 39, "hear thou from the heavens." And so if even though they're captive, even though they've blown it, even though they've made mistakes, if they pray and ask you to forgive them, then without hear from heavens, even in thy dwelling place, their prayer and their supplication to maintain their cause. Give them another chance, God, please. And forgive the people which have sinned against thee. And so we see it's up to us to maintain that forgiveness immediately, if not sooner. Just like we talked about this morning. If you see it, Repent of it right away. Then the third thing underneath that one is we need belief and faith in God. Psalm 140 verse 12 says this, and David was talking. He said, I know that the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted and the rights of the poor. And so just like Solomon was praying that those people would get right and maintain their relationship with God, so was David. So first of all, we saw that we need to maintain our ways. Then we saw we need to maintain the cause. And the third one is this, maintain good works. Let's go to Titus 3. Titus 3. Titus 3, verse 8. Titus 3, verse 8. So maintain our ways, maintain the cause. And here's a third verse. It says, maintain good works. Verse 8 says this, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly. So we saw day by day. We saw all the day long. Again, so we can't get away from maintenance. We need maintenance 24/7. In our ways and the cause. And then it says here, we ought to affirm constantly that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Verse 14, it says here, and let ours also learn to maintain good works for its necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. And of course, what happened was in verse 8, they were told, maintain good works. And so they were soul winning, they were praying, they were singing hymns, they were, you know, help build the church, they were doing good works. And then all of a sudden in verse 9, it says here, but avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law. That is unprofitable and vain. So in other words, we see that in Philemon's area, the church was going. People were getting saved, visitors were coming, the church was growing. And then all of a sudden somebody said, well, what do you think the Bible meant about this? So in other words, they stopped maintaining good works and started arguing about stuff that really didn't matter. Okay? Again, so like I say, somebody comes down and gets saved, somebody comes down and joins the church, and you know, everybody's like, well, that's good and everything, but Pastor, did Adam and Eve have a belly button? I don't know. You know, because they, you know, scientifically they didn't have an umbilical cord because God, you know, created them. So do you think they had a belly button? If God wanted them to have a belly button, He went, boop, and gave them one. Or He gave them an Audi. I don't know. And what does it matter? But that's what the devil wants to do, is to get us arguing about stuff. Well, you know, in theology, it's a blah, 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 blah. Okay? Again, I'd be grateful if you could name all 66 books of the Bible. That's awesome. Okay? That would be good. But I would rather you bring a visitor to church and see them get saved. Okay? I'm okay with you knowing all the doctrines and the names of God and what they meant, things like that. But I'd rather you bring your coworker and them get saved and added to the church. If you can do both, that's awesome. But that's what this, they all got, well, God says in the Word, blah, 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 blah. And they forgot about the cause. Jesus didn't say, hey, all you learn the sanctity of this and the doctrine of this and the manners and the customs of this. It's all fine. Study to show yourself approved so you can rightly divide. I'm good with it. If you continue maintaining good works. So that I've seen people like that. They were soul winners, and then they got so involved in their education, stopped leading people to Christ, got so many degrees on their wall, you could call them a thermometer, and you know, oh, Dr. Big Bottom with all his degrees, and nobody's getting saved. That's what happened. They started arguing about genealogies, and you know, the Abrahamic covenant and the Davidic covenant, and those are all things, and you can know them. That's great. But if you had no clue what the Abrahamic covenant was and you said, Jesus died for you, and if you'll ask Him to save you, you can go to heaven. That's what it's all about. Maintain the cause. Again, I'm not telling you don't study. And I'm not telling you not to know stuff. All right, that's great. But that's what happened here in Philemon's day. They were growing and they were maintaining good works. And all of a sudden, they started rah, 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 rah. In verse 10 it says here, and a man that was a heretic, after the first and the second admonition, reject. You know, oh, goodness gracious. What it said in verse 10 is, if home team over here wants to argue about the belly button, reject him. Dude, I don't have enough time to talk about it. I'm going to go pass out some tracts. That's what he was saying. That's how you maintain good works. Don't get bogged down in arguing about different stuff. Again, I'm for the King James Bible. I think it's the Word of God. I think all the other ones are perversions. But I'm not going to go get in a fist fight, and I'm not going to go argue for 12 hours about it being right. I know it's right. I don't have to argue about it. I'm going to reject that person that wants to argue. I'm going to go pass out some tracts. That's what it's saying. Maintain good works. And it says in verse 14, but they did it. They didn't get in arguments. They didn't get in the strivings. Why? Because that's unprofitable and vain. The vain part is this person's trying to know more Bible than this person. Well, is knowing the Bible a good thing? Yes! All right? My thing is this. You know, I don't know all about the Bible. Well, what are you doing with the part that you do know? That's what God wants you to do. That's how you maintain good works. I know it says I'm supposed to be a light. I know it says I'm supposed to be a witness. Right? So just do that. Don't worry about all the other stuff. Learn it as you go. That's fine. Study and things like that. But don't stop maintaining good works while you're learning some. And that's what he said. In verse 14 it says, hey, let us also learn to maintain good works. For it's necessary uses. It's necessary that we get people saved. It's necessary that we get involved in the cause. Why? Because all that other stuff's unfruitful. And then it says that they which that kept it, I'm going to salute them. I'm going to greet them with love and faith. Grace be unto you all. Praise the Lord, you didn't get bogged down in the argument. You just kept maintaining good works. So we see here, they affirmed constantly. They believed in God. They were careful. They learned. And they realized it was necessary. And just like we've always said, you know, do the parts that you do know. The other parts will come. So, number four, we had number one, we're to maintain our ways. Number two, we're to maintain the cause of Christ. Get people saved. Number three, we're to maintain good works. And number four, lastly, let's go to 1 Chronicles. So back over in the New Testament, 1 Chronicles 26. 1 Chronicles 26. First Chronicles 26, verse 27. Here's the fourth verse. It says, in verse 27, out of the spoils won in battles did they dedicate to maintain the house of the Lord. So the fourth thing that the Bible says that we ought to maintain is the house of the Lord. And of course, just like our body needs physical maintenance, it needs sleep. It needs water. It needs food. It needs rest. That way it will function properly. There's times you don't get water, you get dehydrated, you get sick. I remember one time my wife about killed me. I was mowing some yards, I think about 18 of them by myself one day. And so I was wide open, didn't take time to eat breakfast, boom, I hit it. And I mean, I'm going. I skipped lunch because I had to get done before dark. And about the 16th house, I went to pull my backpack blower, crank it, and when I went like that, both sides of my back just boom, cramped up, boom, down I went. I'm laying in on the grass in that lady's front yard, and I can't move. I army crawl around to her back porch, and I'm laying there. And as long as I stayed spread eagle, I didn't cramp. If I started to move, I would cramp. When I got home that night, I was all cramped up and vomiting. And my wife calls the nurse that was in our church and said, he is dehydrated as the day is long. And, you know, go get him Gatorade and tell him, don't ever do that again. And things like that. So, obviously, I get it. Our body needs it or it's going to lock up. It's going to quit working. It's going to quit functioning. So, we have to do that. So, same thing. We have to maintain the house of the Lord physically. That's why we clean it. That's why it stays nice. If something breaks, we'll fix it. Things like that. We have to maintain it. Why? Because people come here, they sit, they hear the gospel. Lord willing, they get saved. We have to maintain, and it's a nice looking place. Everything. We have work days. We clean the flower beds. We do all kinds of stuff. So we maintain it. But we also need to maintain it spiritual needs. So we do obviously those both of those by we took up an offering this morning, and why? to maintain the electricity, to maintain the AC for a couple more weeks, to maintain lights. They came on so we could see. We give money to do that, to maintain it. We give our time to pass out tracts or to witness to our neighbors or to invite people to Friends and Family Day or to revival. We spend our time to help maintain our church and we keep it clean. But then we also, the Bible tells us that we ought to forsake not. It's a spiritual need to come to it. It'd be one thing to have it all clean and pretty and nice and cool in here and the lights on and then our bodies not be in here. So spiritually, the Bible tells us that we're going to maintain the house of the Lord, yes, physically, but maintain it spiritually. This morning it was a full house. That looks good. That's encouraging to other people. And the Bible says, forsake not the assembling yourselves together, as the manner of some is. And then as it gets closer for Jesus coming back, the Bible says you need more church. We don't need less church. It's crazy how the devil will trick people into that. They're going through a financial burden. So stay home from church. No. You need more church. You're going through a spiritual battle. So I think I'll just lay out today. No, we need more church. You start getting older. I'm an adult now, things like that. So no, you need more church. Maintain the house of the Lord. Stay involved in it. And then the Bible says, as you see the day approaching, come more. And what is most churches in our day and time doing? Nobody comes on Sunday night, so let's just cancel it. Definitely, we're not going to have it on Wednesday night. That's just no need for that. Revival? And so a lot of churches are doing less church, and we see that manner approaching, like it says in Hebrews. So we ought to do that. Not only should we come, pray for it. Put Lighthouse Baptist Church on your prayer list, and all day long, mention it. God bless our church. Help it to be a lighthouse in our community. Help it to have people saved. Help it to grow and pray for it. So we maintain it with our money and our time and with our efforts of keeping it clean, but we also come to it. We pray for it. And then the third and final thing we need to maintain is let it do what it's supposed to do. Let it do what it's supposed to do. And so church is good for us. I leave encouraged. I love the preaching. All right, I'm just kidding. I leave encouraged. Church is good for us. But what happens is the devil wants us to either argue about something spiritual, or the devil's fine with us arguing about something that's not spiritual. Next Sunday, it'll be the day after Kentucky and Georgia play football. All right? And they're both undefeated. And one of them's going to win, and one of them's going to lose. And whether I'm the winner or the loser, I'm going to be kind. I'm not going to go, if y'all beat us. And I'm not going to go, if we beat y'all. All right? I'm going to leave that alone. Why? Because I want to maintain the cause. The cause is not SEC football, even though it's the best conference. I get that. All right? But that's not the cause. The cause is Jesus. And so if somebody comes next week, a co-worker of yours, a neighbor of yours, or a family member of yours, and they're lost, and they need to hear the gospel, I'm not going to be up here going, nanny, nanny, boo, boo, we won, or y'all bullies, y'all beat us, because that's not the cause. The cause is, hey, Jesus died for you, Jesus wants to save you, and we're glad you're here. That's how you maintain the church. Leave that other stuff in the parking lot, that's fine, all right, I like all of that stuff. But even, the things we talked about tonight, those genealogies and those situations in the Bible, I'm fine, but I'm not going to argue about it. I'm going to just try to get people saved. So it's all about maintenance. All about maintenance. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed, and we'll have an invitation. Brother Derek, Miss Tiffany's coming. If the Lord spoke to you in an area that you need to do better in maintenance, come down here and ask Him to help you. Or you can pray right there in your seat. Either way. Let's all stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Brother Derek.